Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Vulture Capitalism, Corporate Crimes, Backdoor Bailouts, and the Death of Freedom by Grace Blakely is a critique of how modern capitalism concentrates power and wealth while claiming to champion free markets. Blakely, known for writing on political economy, argues that what many people experience today is not genuine competition, but a managed system in which large corporations shape rules, absorb public resources, and limit democratic choice. The book connects everyday pressures such as higher prices, precarious work, hollowed out public services, and rising household debt to the political decisions that protect corporate profits. It also examines how crises are repeatedly used to justify extraordinary state intervention that stabilizes markets for the powerful while leaving ordinary people to bear the costs. Framed as an accessible investigation of economic power, the book aims to show how monopolies, finance, lobbying, and international policy have built an economy that rewards extraction rather than productive investment, and why reclaiming freedom requires confronting corporate dominance directly. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from free market myths to a system built for corporate power, a central theme is the gap between the story capitalism tells about itself and the way it actually functions. Rather than markets disciplined by competition, Blakely portrays an economy where the largest firms can set terms, shape regulation, and insulate themselves from risk. The argument suggests that consolidation is not an accident, but an outcome of policy choices that favor mergers, intellectual property protections, financial engineering, and the quiet toleration of market dominance. When a small number of companies control supply chains, platforms, or essential services, price signals and consumer choice lose their supposed power to keep firms honest. The book links this to declining bargaining power for workers, rising markups, and a politics in which corporate priorities become public priorities. In this view, the phrase free market becomes a rhetorical shield that discourages scrutiny of corporate privilege. The system remains highly interventionist, but the intervention is often designed to protect incumbent firms rather than foster open entry and innovation. By reframing capitalism as a project of power management, the book encourages readers to look beyond individual bad actors and toward the institutional design that repeatedly produces the same outcomes. Secondly, corporate crimes and the normalization of impunity, Blakely emphasizes how harmful corporate behavior can become routine when enforcement is weak and penalties are treated as a cost of doing business. The book discusses corporate wrongdoing in broad terms, including fraud, unsafe products, environmental damage, wage theft, and abusive practices in essential industries. The key point is not simply that crimes occur, but that the structure of modern corporations and regulatory regimes makes accountability difficult. Complex ownership chains, outsourced operations, and legal firewalls can separate decision makers from consequences. Meanwhile, regulators may be underfunded, politically constrained, or captured by the industries they oversee. The argument also highlights how corporate influence shapes the boundaries of what is considered acceptable, from aggressive tax strategies to practices that externalize costs onto communities and workers. When wrongdoing does lead to punishment, it can fall on individuals lower in the hierarchy, or result in settlements that do not fundamentally change incentives. This normalizing of impunity, the book contends, undermines trust in institutions and erodes the idea that the economy is governed by fair rules. It also reinforces a culture where maximizing shareholder returns can override social and ecological responsibilities. Thirdly, backdoor bailouts and socialized risk in times of crisis. Another major topic is how governments intervene during crises, often in ways that stabilize corporate balance sheets while offering less durable support to households. Blakely argues that bailout dynamics are not limited to dramatic emergency packages, but can appear through central bank facilities, credit guarantees, asset purchases, and policy choices that protect financial markets. The book frames these measures as forms of socialized risk. When profits are private but losses are absorbed by the public, firms have stronger incentives to take on leverage and speculative strategies. This can create a cycle in which the economy becomes dependent on periodic rescues, and political leaders treat market stability as the primary public good. The analysis also suggests that bailout design matters. Aid channeled through large financial institutions and dominant firms can deepen concentration, leaving smaller competitors and workers with fewer options. Over time, this can convert crises into opportunities for consolidation, as well-capitalized players acquire weakened rivals. The book encourages readers to question who policy is designed to protect and whether alternative crisis responses could prioritize employment, wages, and public services instead of asset prices. It also ties bailout politics to legitimacy, arguing that repeated rescues for the powerful weaken democratic consent. Fourthly, monopolies, finance, and extraction as a business model, Blakely links modern capitalism to a shift from productive investment toward extraction, where profit growth is pursued through control, rent-seeking, and financial tactics rather than broader prosperity. Monopolistic or oligopolistic firms can extract higher returns by limiting competition, controlling access to platforms or infrastructure, and using intellectual property to lock in revenue streams. Finance plays a key role in this picture, not only through banking, but through shareholder primacy, private equity strategies, and a focus on short-term payouts. The book argues that when corporate success is measured by share price and distributions, firms may prioritize buybacks, cost-cutting, and debt-fueled acquisitions over long-term capacity, wages, and resilience. This can show up in degraded services, fragile supply chains, and underinvestment in workforce development. The extraction lens also helps explain why inequality rises even when overall output grows, since gains concentrate among owners of capital and those positioned to collect rents. The topic connects to everyday experiences such as higher fees, subscription models, and reduced consumer autonomy. By emphasizing the mechanics of extraction, the book gives readers a framework for identifying where money flows in an economy and why certain sectors feel increasingly unavoidable, expensive, and unresponsive. Lastly, freedom, democracy, and the struggle to reclaim economic power, the book culminates in a political argument about freedom. Blakely contends that freedom is not only the absence of state interference, but the presence of real choices, security, and democratic control over the conditions of life. When corporations dominate employment options, essential services, and political decision-making, formal rights can coexist with practical dependence. The topic explores how corporate power can narrow the policy menu, making certain reforms seem impossible while maintaining the appearance of democratic debate. It also addresses how privatization and outsourcing can reduce transparency, weaken accountability, and turn public needs into profit centers. Against this backdrop, the book points toward the importance of collective solutions, including stronger labor power, antitrust enforcement, public investment, and industrial strategies that prioritize resilience and social goals. While specific prescriptions may be debated, the thrust is to reframe economic reform as democratization, shifting power away from concentrated corporate interests and toward institutions that represent the public. The argument invites readers to see markets as political creations that can be redesigned. By tying economic structure to lived freedom, the book aims to motivate civic engagement and policy imagination, emphasizing that economic rules are not natural laws, but choices with winners and losers. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand why many wealthy economies feel less secure and less democratic despite technological progress, including students of politics and economics, activists, policy professionals, and curious general readers. It will also resonate with anyone frustrated by rising costs, declining service quality, and the sense that corporate giants face different rules than everyone else. The benefit lies in the framework it offers. Instead of treating problems like inequality, monopoly pricing, precarious work, and repeated financial rescues as separate scandals, it links them to a consistent pattern of state-structured corporate power. That perspective can sharpen how readers interpret news, evaluate policy proposals, and identify who gains from particular reforms or crises. Compared with similar books that focus narrowly on finance, corruption, or individual industries, Blakely aims for a more integrated account that connects corporate wrongdoing, bailout politics, and freedom as a lived condition. The result is a cohesive narrative that helps readers see capitalism not as a neutral market system, but as a contested political arrangement. If you want a readable, argument-driven critique that connects economic structure to democratic agency, it is worth buying for its synthesis and clarity. If you would like to support Grace Blakely, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.